Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. As we come to the end of Paul's letter to the Philippian church, our talk today is by James Hadell, member of St. James. The readings are taken from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, and Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. You can watch the whole service on our Facebook page, as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website.
The first reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying by worrying at a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we wear? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear and eat? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Our second reading this morning is taken from the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. We're reading from chapter 4, reading verses 4 through to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Just take a moment to pray before I get going. Lord God, would you take my words, would you make them yours, and would you speak to all of us this morning about your great abounding love for us and your good and perfect plans you have for us. Amen. My name is James. I'm one of the people who has the privilege to be on the preaching rota. And today we're finishing off Philippians. We've spent a couple of months looking at the book of Philippians in our Sunday morning series. And today we reach the end of this beautiful letter that pulses with themes of joy, contentment, and peace. I'm going to be considering what these verses at the end of the book and the verses we heard from Matthew have to say specifically about mindfulness. I'm going to be considering how these verses, what they specifically have to say about mindfulness. In today's fast-paced world, it's easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of life, letting stress and anxiety overwhelm our hearts and minds. The book of Philippians holds a beautiful message and timeless wisdom for our modern lives. In Philippians 4, that we've just had read to us, Paul provides us with a powerful blueprint for the antidote and offers practical guidance on how to find peace in the midst of life's storms. What experience do you have of stress and anxiety? I remember 15 years ago being at All Nations Christian College, preparing to go to Thailand to work with a charity for children with disabilities, and being given a stress test that allocated points to things like moving house, starting a job, a new job, adapting to a new culture, and then it churned out a score to tell you how stressful your circumstances are. The idea was to convey the message that what we were all preparing for at All Nations was going to be an extremely stressful transition. In truth, Rachel and I experienced more stress 7 years later when we transitioned back to the UK with two adopted children whose complicated situations meant we had a lot of bureaucracy to wade through, as well as all the other things like moving into a new house in a new town and starting a new job. For me, this all culminated in collapsing in my second week of my new teaching role in a lovely little school in the Quantocks, being taken to Musgrove Park Hospital in an ambulance and going home a few days later having been fitted with a pacemaker. I think I caused my head teacher, who was also very new to his role at the time, a certain degree of stress too, not to mention my family. Stress isn't always that dramatic. The exterior pressures in my life have drastically reduced since then, but I now have twice as many kids and at least twice as many jobs at any one time, and the main source of stress now is simply constant busyness. I think many, many people would be able to sympathise with at least one of those stressful positions. Mindfulness is a wonderful antidote to busyness, stress, and anxiety. It's by no means an exclusively Christian term, and you can find all sorts of different guides to and ways of practicing mindfulness. But it is something that the Bible teaches us to do in a unique way because of our relationship with the God who made us and saved us. Mindfulness is essentially the practice of being consciously and intentionally present in the moment. The idea is that the sources of worry, stress, and anxiety in our lives are almost always concerned with things of the future. We're worried about how we're going to pay next month's bills. We're anxious about the test results we're waiting on. We are stressed about all the things still on our to-do list. Our minds are full of all the logistical plans we need to bring together to get the various members of our family to all the various places they need to be in the coming days. And our hearts are weighed down by all the potential pitfalls that may lie in the path of our children, who we really are trying to nurture into independence. Now, these are all perfectly reasonable things to be concerned about, but we simply don't have the emotional energy to hold on to them all of the time. So what do our passages today have to say about what to do? Paul wrote the letter of Philippians whilst in prison. His life was completely out of his hands, and he didn't know whether he would ever be free again. And yet his letter is full of joy, a joy that comes from knowing Jesus. At the start of the section we looked at today, Paul begins, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Here we have an invitation to us to cultivate a heart of joy and gratitude. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can find reasons to rejoice. And Christian mindfulness begins with a conscious decision to focus on the goodness of God and the love of Jesus Christ. By developing a habit of gratitude, we can redirect our thoughts from worry and anxiety to praise and thanksgiving. He continues, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." This is a reminder to approach life's challenges with a calm and gentle spirit. When we recognize that the Lord is near, we can trust in his providence and his sovereignty. It's not "let your gentleness be evident to all" because the Lord is near and you've got to put on the do the right things because he's looking at you. It's "you can be gentle to all because the Lord is near and with you." This awareness of God's presence encourages us to respond to difficulties with patience and understanding rather than reacting negatively. If those first two verses are a little cerebral, it gets very practical then in verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." One of the most powerful tools for Christian mindfulness is prayer. Instead of succumbing to anxiety, we're encouraged to bring our concerns to God through prayer and supplication. As we do so, we mustn't forget the importance of gratitude. Expressing thanksgiving in our prayers reminds us of God's faithfulness and his ability to provide, thereby allowing us to release our worries into his capable hands. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray, I can feel myself almost closing my eyes to the stuff of life and turning away from that to face God. And I think there's a danger there that we can slip into almost putting on a front or false attitude as we come before God, an attitude that doesn't acknowledge how we truly feel about the things that weigh us down. Instead, what we need to do is remind ourselves that God is already there in the midst of all our mess and strife, and we don't need to turn at all in order to see him. We just need to let God be God and hand all our baggage over to him as he stands right in the thick of it. Paul goes on to say what the benefit is in doing this, "and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." If we can practice Christian mindfulness by rejoicing and offering our worries to God with thanksgiving, then we open the door for the transcendent peace of God. This peace is not dependent on external circumstances, but is rooted in our relationship with God. It becomes a sentinel, guarding our hearts and minds from the chaos and anxiety of the world. And then our passage concludes with this. Paul encourages us to fill our minds and thoughts, our minds with thoughts, that are noble, pure, and praiseworthy. Once we've acknowledged the negative and anxious thoughts that trouble our hearts and minds and acknowledged God's sovereignty over all things, we're free to focus on the things that uplift and inspire. It's as though the first steps have cleared a space inside us, but we need to fill that space with something positive before the worries of life flood back in to fill the void. As we put this into practice, we can experience the ongoing presence of the God of peace in our lives. What we have here in Philippians is a profound way to navigate the challenges of our daily lives by rejoicing, practicing gentleness, turning to prayer with thanksgiving, and filling our minds with goodness. We can experience the deep and abiding peace of God. A rather reading this morning from Matthew is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the first collection of Jesus' teachings that Matthew records as a way to establish the core principles of Jesus' ministry. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is all about rethinking the habits and mindsets that were deep-rooted in the culture of the time. And they were often, they're not always, done with a genuine desire to follow God, but were fundamentally misguided and missed the heart of what our relationship with God should be. And I think fundamentally misguided attitudes concerning worry and anxiety still abound today. Have you ever found that stress can be glorified in Western society? There is this often completely subconscious and unspoken notion, not always, but often unspoken, that high stress levels are just part and parcel of being successful in whatever endeavor you're undertaking. It's like stress levels are a barometer of how worthwhile your commitments in life are. Again, it must be acknowledged that it is often the most important things in life that are the sources of worry, anxiety, and stress. It's completely natural that we care about the most important things, and it's natural that we worry about the things we care about. But we need to be mindful that we don't slip into thinking that constant worry and stress is part of our natural condition, because it's not. We were made to care and to care deeply about a great many things, but we were not made to be anxious. Perhaps that's why Jesus here devotes a large part of his teaching to addressing the worry that he knows people are always inclined to feel. Jesus invites us to release our anxieties. He knows that the burden of daily cares can weigh heavy on our hearts, and he lovingly encourages us to let them go. Jesus points us to the birds of the air. They do not toil. They do not store up in barns, yet our Heavenly Father provides for them. He reminds us of our intrinsic value in the eyes of our Creator. We are far more precious than birds, and our Heavenly Father knows our needs. So when anxiety creeps in, pause and reflect on these verses. Remind yourself that God knows your needs and that you are precious in His sight. Consider the lilies, it says in one version of the Matthew passage we had. I think our version just said flowers. Flowers, beautiful and delicate, neither toil nor spin, yet God adorns them with exquisite beauty. Consider the lilies, and in doing so, find solace in the knowledge that God cares for us more deeply than we can imagine. Our worries and anxieties are met with His unchanging love and care. We are reminded to let go of unnecessary worry, to trust in the Creator who cares for His creation. Then, bearing all this in mind, the last part of the Matthew passage begins with a challenge that strikes at the core of our daily concerns. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" In verse 31. Jesus directly addresses, in the most basic form, the very worries that most often consume us. He recognizes the natural concerns we face in our lives, but he reminds us that our Heavenly Father is well aware of these needs. The wisdom here is in acknowledging our anxieties while understanding that dwelling on them incessantly does not serve us. We're called to rise above the cycle of relentless worry. This passage teaches us to surrender our worries and embrace the present. Instead of being consumed by anxiety about the future, we can find peace by trusting that our Heavenly Father knows our needs and cares for us deeply. We're encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, instead of being consumed by worldly cares, and we are called to prioritize our relationship with God and trust that our needs will be met. This is the heart of Christian mindfulness, the art of letting go and trusting God's providence, releasing the burden of the future, casting our cares upon God, and finding solace in His promises. It's an invitation to trust, to be present, and to experience the peace that comes from knowing that our loving Heavenly Father is watching over us. So let us seek first the kingdom of God, resting in His love and allowing His peace to wash over us. In this way, we can navigate the challenges of life with confidence, knowing that our Heavenly Father cares for us more than we can ever fathom. I want to finish by way of summary with a few takeaway thoughts from these two passages. things that we can do or thoughts that we can dwell on to practice the kind of Christ-founded mindfulness that our passage extols us to. Some of these may seem like things to do and others may seem like ways to think. But all of them are really both, because we're holistic creatures whose actions affect our minds and whose thoughts affect the things we do. So first of all, recognize that not everything is in your control. Embrace the fact that God is in charge and surrender your anxieties to him. Focus on the present moment instead of worrying about tomorrow. Embrace today and trust that God's grace is sufficient for each day. Start or end your day by listing things that you're thankful for. It could be the love of your family, the beauty of nature, or the gift of a new day. Because gratitude shifts our focus from worries to blessings. Take a moment to watch the birds outside your window, or take a leisurely walk outside in a natural environment. And as you observe the beauty around you, remember the lilies mentioned in the passage. Reflect on the Creator's care for all his creation, including you. Gratitude for simplicity. Cultivate a gratitude for the simple and beautiful things in life. Perhaps a single flower or the laughter of a child. And learn to see God's beauty in simplicity. Surrender and trust. When worries arise, consciously surrender them to God. Trust that just as he cares for the lilies, he cares for you. And this trust is the cornerstone of the mindfulness we're called to. Shift our focus away from acquiring and competing to being content with what we have. This aligns with the lilies passage. They grow, they bloom, they flourish without striving for worldly acclaim. Challenge yourself to be present in the moment instead of worrying about the future. Strive to be fully present in the here and now. Engage in each moment with gratitude. You can allocate a specific time of day for addressing your worries. It might sound like a silly thing to do, but it makes a massive difference. During this designated worry time, address your concerns, pray about them, and then release them. Refrain from dwelling on them throughout the day. This is all part of acknowledging that probably most of the things you're worried about are perfectly reasonable things to be worried about. You just don't need to hang on to them all the time. And lastly, share your struggles and pray for one another. In times of worry, we can find strength and comfort through our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was wonderful to hear the testimonies this morning that really speak of that. There's a lot of things there. Just one or two really leapt out as I read them. And just try to see if you can focus on those in the coming week or two. And just it seems appropriate to, having spoke about that last one, to remind you that the prayer is available after the service. If you just come to the front here, there are designated people available to pray with anyone who needs it for whatever reason. But the heart of all of this, the heart of what makes the mindfulness that we're called to in these passages different, is Christ. It's the fact that we are called to be mindful of our relationship with him, what he has done for us, and how much our God loves us. Let's pray. Lord God, would you, in this coming week, just tap us gently on the shoulder to remind us that you're there always, that you want to hear the things that worry us, that you want to share our burdens, you want to take our burdens. Lord God, you want to begin by even saying to us that the things we're worried about are important things. We're made to care, but we're not made to care on our own. We're made to care in partnership with our loving God, who made us and saved us. Lord God, would you inspire us through your Holy Spirit to work alongside you, to care alongside you in all things for your glory, for your kingdom, and for the increasing of the fame of your name. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.